We're going to go ahead and get started. Good to be in church this morning. As we were praying this morning, I had mentioned, pastor talking about how important it is to be in church. And I think we all as Christians know that deep down inside, but God makes it apparent to me all the time when I'm in church. Because he's always working on me in the services, for sure. If nobody else got anything out of Sunday school this morning, I certainly did. Thankful for a God. That shows me long suffering.
Hey.
Say it all the time, but I just can't understand God's grace towards me. I don't understand a God. A God that loves me every day. I fail him constantly. Thankful for this church, for our pastor. Because God definitely uses his preaching to get a hold of my heart.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
I think about this. He was talking about this example of having to put a dog down. I couldn't do it. I sat there thinking about things that God's trying to get me to do in my life. I struggle doing those too. It's amazing how often you can at least not you, me, how often I can bristle up against what God's trying to get me to do, and yet he still loves me. He still works on my heart. The first question I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven is, what is grace? Explain it to me. I experience it every day, but I still can't wrap my head around it. I'm thankful for church. I need church. I could probably use a couple extra services during a week. I'm thankful for his word. I'm thankful for a pastor that preaches stuff when it's difficult. Because I need to hear it. I'm thankful for a God that loves me and will help me through it. Thankful he can see my heart too. He can see it when my heart's rotten so he can fix it. And he can also see when I'm struggling to do something he's telling me to do, and he's patient with me and he works on me and walks me through it exactly the way I need it. Not because I, for my selfishness, but because he knows me better than I do. He knows exactly what I need to get to where he needs me to be. Thankful for church. If you would, stand with me and turn to page 416. We're going to sing Hiding in Thee, page 416. Turn to page 656. Send the light. We're going to sing this a cappella. Page 656. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the Spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed
Amen. Glad to be here this morning. Glad I'm saved. I'm glad this morning that I mentioned it in the Sunday school hour, but on Wednesday, Miss Chris Colville was admitted into the hospital for some stomach issues. I'm thankful that she was released yesterday. Thank the Lord for that. She didn't have to have surgery, which was a blessing. It looked like she might have to stay for 3 days or 2 weeks. And so thankfully God answered our prayers. She got out yesterday. She doesn't need the surgery. So thank the Lord for that. Please continue to keep them in prayer. I know their other son came up to visit this weekend. I believe he's flying out this morning. So keep Joe in prayer as he flies back down to Atlanta. And just keep them, Derek and Erica, and just the whole situation over there in prayer with all that they got going on. Thank the Lord for a prayer answer for Brother Chris as well. His housing situation got taken care of, so thank God for that. I need to see the men after the service for just a few seconds, just a few moments. Members that are men, for a few moments in my office, I want to ask you some questions about some things. So after the service, if you can, please stay for a few moments. It won't be very long. And just thank for all God's doing for us. So thank God for His mercy, His grace, and just the opportunity to be in church this morning, for the freedoms we have, to open up a Bible, to serve God, and have the opportunity to send a light.
Hey.
Send the gospel light out. Again, I'm announced my notice said it before, sign holding, if anybody's ever interested. Thursdays at 3:30 to 4:30 over here on Front and Pine, and then Saturdays as well on a little bit nicer part of town where you don't get yelled at as much over there where I live, at Airport and Union, or Irving and Union, one of the two there. Very busy intersection. God reads. People are reading those signs. People are reading those signs.
Yes, sir.
Another person wanted to give us a dollar bill yesterday because they thought we were homeless. At least they thought my wife was homeless. I was a little kid. She even took the dollar. No, she didn't take the dollar bill. But it's just a blessing. I'll tell you, I'll just be honest with you. If anybody's fearful, I'm fearful. If anybody doesn't want to go out because they're afraid, well, your pastor's afraid. He has some fear. So just to let you know that Saturday, some days that's fine. Some days it's like you feel like the whole world's looking at you because you're holding that sign. I'm telling you. That's one of the ways I know the Bible is God's word. Just pick you up a scripture sign. Just stand on the street. Just hold it. Just hold it. And you'll have all the devils of hell telling you why you can't hold it.
Yeah, come on.
Why don't you end 15 minutes early? Why don't you end 20 minutes early? The temperature's getting a little colder. It's raining out. God, listen, those that go out and those that pray, God bless you and thank you for it. The other day we were out there, it started raining. I asked some of the brothers and the sisters, I said, you want to? Nope, let's keep going on. The rain will pass. God bless you all. God bless you. Stand out there, get a little rain on us, and that's fine because God's doing some things. Please pray. I will say this. We're not live streaming, are we, right? We are. Can you pause it a second? Just for whatever reasons, maybe. There.
If you would, I'd ask you to please stand with me and turn to page 420. My anchor holds. Page 420.
Anchor safe and sure that can never more
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is my anchor and that I am not my own anchor. Amen. He holds us fast. He's got us in the palm of His hand. He knows exactly what goes on in our life. Nothing takes God by surprise, and I'm thankful for that. If you take your Bibles this morning and look at, First Kings chapter 8, verse number 13, 1 Kings chapter 8, and verse number 13, we're going to continue our study on the house/temple of the Lord as the church and also the believers as the temple of the Lord. We're going to try as we go through here the kings of Judah and see how the temple went into decay and things crept in that affected their worship of God and how the same things today can creep into our own lives and disrupt our worship of God. I talked last week about the things that God accepts, sacrifices that God accepts. And so we'll continue that study this morning. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 13. The Bible says here, it says, look for verse 12 for context. 1 Kings 8 verse 12. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. Just a little side note there. The closer you get to God, the darker it might get. The closer you draw to God, the darker it may get in your life. Because God dwells in thick darkness. But one thing you can be sure of, God's there. You see, you're going through a dark time in your life, it's very dark. But God's in those dark times, and the Bible says that darkness is as a light to God. It's not dark on God. It might be dark on you, but it's not dark on our God. He sees exactly what's going on. And the darker it gets sometimes, it's the closer that God's getting to you and you're getting to God. So the Bible says in verse 13, I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in. Look at those last two words there, forever. God's going to dwell in that physical temple forever someday. They're going to rebuild it again, and it's going to be established over there in Jerusalem. But someday, in a new heaven and new earth, God will be the light, Jesus Christ will be the light, and we will be with God forever. But God also, if you're saved, if you're part of the body of Christ, or the bride of Christ, you are in Him, He is in you, you are now the temple of God. But the Bible says here, a place to abide forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we could gather together. Thank you for this building. Thank you for the warm weather, dear Lord, for our clothing, for food, for shoes, Lord, our cars that got us here. Dear God, thank you for our jobs, Lord, and the money we have, Lord, and just all your blessings to us. God, help us to not take these things for granted. Lord, help us to redeem the time because the days are evil. Help us to send the light. Help us to be about your business in these last days that we are living in, dear God. Help us to stay faithful and help us to finish our course. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I've talked about that the reason for the temple, the first temple, was that there was a purpose for it. There's a pattern on how the temple was to be built. Then there had to be preparation. You see, you can have the purpose, you can have the pattern, you can have the blueprint, but then you're going to also need the preparation. If you're building a physical building, obviously you're going to need materials to put that together for its purpose. And so you have the purpose, you have the pattern, you also have the preparation. But once you have the preparation and it's put together, now you need the performance. It's good to have the purpose. It's good to have the pattern. It's good to have the preparation and the materials you need for it. But now you need to take that and you need to perform for what it's used or for what it was prepared for. So the Bible says here, we read in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 13, that this temple that was to be built, it was to be built for God to dwell in forever. Just as God will dwell, or the Lord Jesus Christ will dwell in that temple forever, there's also a spiritual temple. A spiritual temple. Take your Bible and look at, let's see here, paperwork here. Matthew 28:20. Matthew chapter 28, and look at verse number 20. Matthew 28, 20. Matthew 28, verse number 20. Matthew 28, 20. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples before he ascends back up into heaven. And he says, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Take your Bible and look over at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Just as God the Father dwells forever in that temple, the physical temple, Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 13 and 14. The Bible says here, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." You have been sealed forever. Once you are saved, the Bible says here that you have been sealed till the redemption of that purchased possession. You are now sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It is a spirit of promise that someday Jesus Christ will come back. And if we're alive and he comes through those clouds, when he comes for his bride, we will be with him and dwell with him forever because he is in us and we are in him. What a blessing to have that this morning. He is now my anchor of my soul. Though the waves may beat against his body, though the waves may beat against my soul spiritually, Jesus Christ is my anchor. Though I may sway back and forth, that anchor holds, and I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. I don't have to worry about it because I'm secure in Christ. I'm secure in Christ. That's the only hope. To think that I can keep my own anchor is insanity. Because there's no way, if you're honest with yourself, that you can keep it. Christ Jesus is that anchor. He holds me in the palm of his hand. Though he sees those storms, he's holding me right there with his purposes. And I'm sealed with that Holy Spirit promise until the day of redemption. He's coming back to redeem me someday. He laid down, he laid down that earnest money in the form of the Holy Spirit within us. And he says, "Someday, son, I'm coming back to get you. You're mine. I purchased you with blood. You're now mine. I'm now yours. And though I'm in heaven and you're on that earth, someday I'm coming back and I am redeeming my purchased possession to be back with me forever in heaven." Glory to God for those precious promises. He now dwells within us, who are the temple of God now, according to Corinthians. We are now the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit now dwells within us forever. We don't ever have to worry about God forsaking us or the Lord Jesus Christ leaving us. He is always there for us. Thank the Lord for that. So now that we looked at the purpose, the pattern, I want to take a moment real quick to look at this, the pattern part, all right? Take your Bible and look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 11. The pattern, okay? So we have the purpose. We've seen the purpose. Let's look at the latter part of this pattern part here. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 11. The pattern, okay? 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 11. All right. I get there myself. 1 Chronicles 28, look at verse number 11. All right. "Then David gave to Solomon," look what the Bible says here. "Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch
and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also, verse 13, this pattern continue on, verse 13, also for the courses of the priest and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. Okay, David didn't just wing this thing. Solomon just didn't wing this thing when it came to building this temple for God. God gave David the pattern, and David then takes this information now and gives the pattern to Solomon. Okay? They just didn't do it like they thought it should be done. God gave the pattern on how he wanted it built and how he wanted it accomplished. Thus it is with our lives as the spiritual temple of God. We're not left without a pattern. We just don't wing it as Christians. We have a pattern on how we're to live our lives that is acceptable to God, that he'll receive what we offer to him. There's a pattern given to us. Take the Bible, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Just as the temple in the Old Testament had a pattern and how God wanted it built for his purposes and his glory and his worship, thus there is a pattern for us as believers on how we're to worship, on how our lives are to be honoring unto our Savior as the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, he saved it, but howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. Let's pause there for a second. What is Paul saying here? Paul's saying that he lived a life that strived to love the God of the Hebrews. Paul had a zealousness, a right zealousness for the law of God, for his commandments, for the temple, for the service, for the worship. Basically, what I'm saying is Paul was sold out to God according to the Old Testament way. And God noticed that. And God saw his heart, that he had a heart towards the true God. He had a heart so much towards the true God that he began to persecute Christians, because according to Paul and according to the Old Testament law, they were going against what he believed as a Jew. Okay? Paul, when you're saying that Jesus Christ has now come, that he's the Messiah, and they don't believe he's the Messiah, okay, that's Paul's like, I can't have nothing to do with this. And he persecuted the church. Now, we're going to get back to this. Bear with me for a second. So Paul goes out there and he's killing Christians. He's throwing Christians into prisons. He's breaking up families. He's seeing little kids cry because mommy and daddy are taken away because they believe in Jesus. Paul's doing it. But God shows mercy and grace and deals with Paul, and Paul receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, and Jesus Christ changes Paul's life. And what he says here, he says, that is a pattern that is now shown to us as Christ showed mercy and grace to Paul, who didn't deserve it, who was consenting to Stephen's death by stoning. God saw all of this, and what Paul did, and some of it was horrible. God showed, through Jesus Christ showed long suffering to Paul as a pattern now to us, that we are now to show long suffering, grace, and mercy, even to somebody that could be a murderer. Look what the Bible says. We're talking about a pattern. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, who's showing this? Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Look what it says, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Not only to show grace to those individuals that may have done wicked things, but also for those that have done wicked things to realize they can receive grace and mercy and forgiveness from God. That's glorious, brethren. That is glorious. For someone that might be in prison and might have been a murderer, and for them to realize what they've done and there and realize that they have no hope of getting out, yet someone is willing to go into that prison or into that jail and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they get a hold of that in there, and they receive forgiveness of their sins. They've received the long suffering of Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace, and they're forgiven on the inside. Though bound on the outside, they have freedom now with God on the inside. That is exactly what Paul says, that, listen, what Christ did for him is a pattern for us now. To realize that no matter what we've done, we can receive forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Only thing I think Christ can't forgive or will not forgive is you rejecting him as a Messiah and Savior. Because you're rejecting your only hope. Paul was a murderer. Paul took people's lives, Christians' lives, and Jesus Christ showed a pattern of long-suffering to Paul. Take your Bible and look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and look at verse number 14. 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 14. These things write I unto thee, Paul writing to his son Timothy. He says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. What is the pillar and ground of the truth? The church. God's body. Church. We, this morning, that are believers, that are saved, make up the church of God. We make up the body of Christ. You know, one of the reasons, you know, Brian mentioned a little bit when he was talking, I mentioned a little bit in Sunday school. You know why? One of the reasons I think it's important to come to church? Because people love you. People love you. You know, I'll say as a pastor, when you come in on a Wednesday night and everybody's not here, it's a little sad sometimes because of love. Listen, if you have a family gathering or a family reunion and you're a pretty close family and everybody's spread out all over the place, and let's say some people are even in other states, but you've been planning a reunion for so long, everybody says they're going to come, and yet when that day shows up, four or five families that are very close with one another, they don't show up, you can't tell me that won't affect that reunion. Because people that they love are not there to enjoy the moments that they're celebrating together. And it's the same way in church. When you can't be here or you decide not to be here for a non-legitimate reason, you affect your other brothers and sisters in Christ. Brethren, we're all part of one body. And if the hand says, I don't want to work today or do anything today, it's going to affect the rest of the body. And when people don't come to church and they can't come to church, it's going to affect the body. And the body can't completely work like it needs to work unless all its members are present. Amen. I heard a preacher say this, and I'm... I heard a preacher say that he made his church after 30-some years of being in existence. I don't know if he was joking. I don't know if he was telling the truth of... The members had to re-up. And I'm beginning to wonder as a pastor now if I'd allow anybody to be a member if they don't start coming to all the church services. You say, that's pretty hard, preacher. The Bible says, like Brian said, we should be meeting even more as we see the day approach. Not less. Why? Because God knows what we need. And Timothy, Paul's telling Timothy, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's Bible. We just read it, brethren. We affect one another, whether we realize it or not. I'm telling you, sometimes I come in on a Wednesday night, and this last Wednesday night was rough. It was rougher than normal in particular because a lot of people were missing. Miss Sharon and Mr. Ralph weren't here, and that we miss them. It's like part of the body is gone. The part of the body's not here. People are missing their seat. People where you expect them to sit because that's where they sit and they're not there, that touches the heart a little bit. You're like, man, Or you've been praying for people to come out to church. You've been praying that they come out to church and then they don't show up. And it's like, Why? Because you love them. And you want to see them. And you want to be together. The church, we've been given a pattern. And the early church met together. They were always, take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 1, please, real quick. The book of Acts. Acts chapter, I believe it's chapter 1. Actually, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2:41. The Bible says here. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This is the early church. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Someone asked a question a few weeks ago about what is the vision of this church. And I'll say one of my first desires is that the members, that our members here would come to all the church services for those that can. I know some can't. I understand that. But my desire is if you're a member and you physically can make it to church and you're not having to work, that you be in church. How do we expect the church to grow or God to add to the church when even the members can't come to all the services? Again, these are one of these hard things to say as a pastor because you feel like you're putting people down, but it's the truth, brethren. One of the things I tried to teach my family when I was growing up, I wanted to emphasize to my children that church and the Lord Jesus Christ and God and His Word and walking with Him and salvation is the most important thing there is. And I said it Wednesday night, when you put family before church, you are showing your family what you put the emphasis on. Don't tell me you want to see your family get saved, yet you stay home for a family reunion or you say go to a picnic or something like that. I want to see them get saved. And they see that they know that you're a Christian and they know Christians go to church. You're putting them before God and Jesus Christ. They're going to see what you put the emphasis on. And you're not going to win them to the Lord because they see you're making excuses for not coming to church. Brethren, I said it before Wednesday night and I'm serious. I'm standing here. These last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, I cried in my office at my house because of a situation with a family member that's dear to me because I had to break fellowship with them over some things going on. I'm talking about somebody really close to me. Actually, it was my father. It was my dad. Some of you men in here, you don't know it, but you're almost like a dad to me. Some of you women in here, you're like a mom to me. Because I don't have my dad and my mom right now. They're alive, but I don't have them. So my church is my family. Some of you here, I consider you my brother because I have a brother, but I don't have a brother. I have a brother that's alive, but I don't have a relationship with him because he's not saved and he chooses to go the way of the world. But some of you in here, you're my brother. So when you don't come to church, it affects the family dynamic. Because we're brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. For some people that don't have it. Your dad might be there. Your mom might be there. I ain't got it. My brother ain't there. I have no family relationship. And I'm not complaining about it tonight, brethren. I'm not complaining about it today. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying how important it is we are to one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And so when we don't go to church, what you're telling your brothers and sisters in Christ is that my physical family is more important to me than my spiritual family. Which one's more important, the spiritual or the physical? The spiritual. The spiritual trumps blood. That's Bible. Jesus Christ, his mother and brothers came to him and seeking me. He said, no, who's my mother and who's my brother? And he was looking at people that weren't his real mother and brethren. And they were on the outside trying to get into Jesus. And Jesus said, these are my brothers and sisters here. Those that do the word of God. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's my mama. That's my uncle. That's my aunt. You. And if your family decides to come to church, good. That's wonderful. If they're saved and they come to church, wonderful. But it's the spiritual family that matters, brethren. And we've lost that today. We've lost it today. There's differences of administration and operations within individual churches. This is the pattern. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. Brethren, I speak as a fool. I'm going to tell you, I speak as a fool. Paul gave some examples and he spoke as a fool. Some will say, I'm too tired to come to church. Brethren, at one time, I had four children, and my wife and I have four children that she was homeschooling, all four of them. I was driving an hour and a half plus, sometimes 2 hours a day, one way to work, and then back from work. I was working with those kids in that juvenile center, and sometimes it was stressful, it was heavy. At the same time, I was doing all that and trying to spend time with my kids. Listen, I was going for my master's degree at the same time. Trying to do school papers and all this other stuff. And then also trying to be at every church service that my church did on. Every activity they had, I tried to be involved in it. All of it at the same time. And sometimes I was tired. Sometimes I was wore out. Sometimes I was frustrated at the preacher. Sometimes I was mad that there were so many services. But I knew the right thing to do was to go to church. If you can't make it to all the church services, maybe there's some things that need to change in your life. Maybe rearrange some things. Because, brethren, it's not for Chris Welton, your pastor. It's for Jesus Christ. You see, someday you're going to have to talk to Jesus about why I didn't come to all the church services. Not me. You're not accountable to me. I'm just trying to help you as a pastor to the sheep. God desires for his sheep to gather together. And so all I can do is put out the warning. Differences of administration. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. The Bible says here, and there are differences of administration, the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So you have differences of operations, you have differences of administration, but it's the same God as long as it doesn't go against Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all what the churches of the saints. God's not the author of confusion. So even in a church setting, the pattern is given to us that if there's confusion, then something is not right. Confusion means this in a general sense, a mixture of several things promiscuously. Hence, disorder, loss of possession, instability. A church ought to be stable. A church ought not to be in a state of disorder. There is order within a church service because God's not the author of confusion. Lastly, there ought to be peace within the church. Among the members first, which then carries over into the services and other ministries. There has to be peace among one another in the church. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, the preparation. The preparation. In order for the purpose and the pattern to be put into motion, one must start with preparation. Take your Bible, look at 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 1. First Chronicles 29, verse 1 and 2. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1 and 2, the preparation. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender. Look what the Bible says. And the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have, he says in verse 2, now I have prepared the preparation. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. David said that the work is great. He said the work is great because the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. This church building and this church as a whole, as a body, it's not for man, but it's for God. And David says, I have prepared for Solomon my son. He's young and tender. The work is great. When Solomon prays to God, he asks God for wisdom and how to handle so great a multitude in his kingdom. Brethren, there's only so much that I can do as a pastor. The work is great. I can only be in one place at one time. You see, David says, I prepared with all, what? Look what he says in verse 12, 2. Now I have prepared with all my might. All my might. David says, I'm going at this thing full bore, 100%, prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Brethren, I ask you a question this morning. Is this your church? Is this your church? Are you in it? Are you in with all your might? Or are you just skating on the outside? A pastor needs brethren and members to get in with all their might. Because the work is great. God's prepared for us something to do. Some of us are the wood. Some of us are the precious stones. Some of us are the glistering stones. Some of us are the gold. Some of us are the silver. And the one can't be the other, and the other can't be the other. We are individuals that God saved but has a purpose for, because the work is great. And if my arm's missing and my right leg's limp, and like Miss Kathy's got a broken toe back there, my left toe's broken, and I got a cut on my right arm, the body's going to go limping along, but the body's got to keep going. What a blessing it would be if the body could get in all together and go forward for the cause of Christ. The work is great. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, the pattern, the purpose, the pattern, now the preparation. We have the purpose. We're to glorify Jesus Christ with our body, soul, mind, strength, spirit, everything we got. We're to glorify Him. We have the purpose. We have the pattern, the Word of God, and preaching and teaching and the Holy Spirit. We have the purpose and the pattern. Now we have the preparation. God's given us everything we need to do what God wants us to do. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 16. Nehemiah, they've come back into the land there at Jerusalem, and they're trying to rebuild the wall. They're trying to rebuild the wall. You know, there's safety in church as well. The wall needs to be rebuilt. You know why you come to church as well is not only to help build up the wall, but to help the Lord to build up the wall in your own walk with Him. You don't come to church, God might not deal with you about something. See, when you listen to YouTube preachers, you can almost kind of pick what you want to listen to and the preacher you want to listen to. Unfortunately for you, you're stuck with me. And ain't like you can hit a button in your pew, say, up, get rid of him and bring another guy out. Nope, don't like what he's saying. Let's pause it there. Let's start another video. You got me? Whether you like me or not, you got me? But I try to get with God and give you what I believe God's put on my heart. And so when you choose YouTube preachers, you can pick what you like. But when you come to me, you might get something you don't like. But it's for our own good and our own benefit. Sometimes the medicine tastes horrible, but you need the medicine. And some Christians need their walls built up of separation again from the world. Too many Christians have let the walls crumble down, and now they look like, they act like, they talk like, they walk like, just like the world. And we wonder why the church is so anemic. Because the walls of separation have come down. Nehemiah is now going back, and what is the purpose of the walls? Is to keep the enemy out. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know why a lot of people have anxiety today? Why a lot of people don't have peace today? Why people are lacking grace today? Because their walls are broken down and the enemy's just going in and out like he likes, pushes all your buttons and gets you stirred up about all kinds of different things, and you lose control in the mind and in the heart. You know why a lot of people are turning to suicide? Because they were never taught as little kids to control and rule their spirits. So when they get older and everything falls apart around them, they have nothing to look to, they have no hope, they don't know how to control their emotions, they don't know how to control their passions, they don't know how to put up walls around things to be able to handle situations, and their only answer is that the devil puts in their mind is, take your life. Self-mastery. Stonewall Jackson said, a man needs to learn self-mastery, self-control. And we're lacking that today because we let the walls crumble down. Look what Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 16 says. And it came to pass from that time forth. Jump up to verse 13. Sorry, this is going to be the last thing we read this morning, but I got to put this in context. First, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13. If you're falling asleep, please wake up to hear this last section. Some of you are closing your eyes. Please wake up and hear this last section. Therefore, said I, in the lower palace behind the wall, Nehemiah says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Nehemiah says, I sat there in a place behind the wall, and he says, I put families up on the wall that were there, that was up, with their swords and their spears and their bows. And he says in verse 14, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. Nehemiah says to that congregation there that's around him, he says, don't be afraid. You know why you come to church is for the preacher and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to say, don't be afraid of what you're seeing going on out there. Don't be afraid. Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. There is victory through Jesus Christ. He has overcome the world and has given us the victory. Don't be afraid. Why? Because the devil has set this thing up for us to be moved and directed and live by fear. The news media does nothing for the most time but put out fear. The COVID shot will kill you. COVID will kill you. Cancer will kill you. This will kill you. That will kill you. This, you might as well just wrap yourself in bubble wrap and lay down in the bed and don't ever get out of your house. Now, I'm saying use common sense. But the devil is the master of fear. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, brethren. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. The church needs power. And it starts with y'all. It starts with you. If we're going around and we're scared about every little thing that might happen to us, there's no power. And again, I'm talking about using common sense now. If you're sick, stay home. I'm not being cavalier, but I'm saying too many Christians are being dictated by fear. And Nehemiah, imagine if you were on that wall as they're rebuilding it. There is enemy all around them. It's so bad they got to have a sword, they got to have a spear, they got to have bows and arrows to fight off the enemy. This is a picture of us spiritually as well, brethren. There is an enemy of your soul out there, and he wants to dictate your life by fear. Stay home. Don't touch nobody. Don't shake nobody's hand. Don't give nobody a hug. Stay touchless and you get cold, hardened, and isolated, which is exactly what the devil wants. Brethren, a sheep left by itself without touch from the shepherd, without touch from other sheep, will die in a depression, and that is real. That is real. A shepherd has to watch out for it. A sheep will die. Physically die. And a shepherd has to keep his eyes open for it. Nehemiah says, I put families. And then Nehemiah says, fight. He says, brethren, fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your houses. Verse 15. And it came to pass. Look, here it is, brethren. Here it is. Here comes the devil. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. The enemy heard what was going on. The enemy heard what Nehemiah was putting forth to his brethren. Brethren, this is Ray Street Baptist Church. I've come in, the Lord's allowed me to be here, and I'm trying to build up the back of the walls again, get this thing going again for the cause of Jesus Christ. But I need help from families to stand on their walls with their swords and their bows and their arrows. I need people to stand there and are willing to go to the work of God. But the enemy's going to come in and try to discourage the work. Verse 16, and it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work. So half of the people are working, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields and the bows and the habergons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. Look what verse 17 says now concerning the church. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with his hand wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto all the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, look what he says. The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In that place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet. Resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. And half of them held the spear from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servants lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save that every one put them off for washing. They didn't even, look, they kept the same clothes on. The only time they changed their clothes was to wash them, and they put them back on. They had one hand on the spear, and the other hand was working. Brethren, the work is great. the walls of Bible-believing Christianity, the right walls, and be built back up again. Amen. To protect what is precious because it's being lost. But only we can build up the walls, and we can only do it together. You know, they had a trumpet there, and everyone had their own work on that wall. And some of them were separate away pretty far, but they all were doing the same thing for the same purpose, to build that wall for protection. And Nehemiah said, I got me a man here, he's got his trumpet, and I'll blow the trumpet if I need help. And they had the same thing on the other end. If they had a trumpet and they blew it, they need help. He says, in other part, we'll come fight with you, and if we need help, you'll come fight with us. But together, we'll build this wall, and we'll fight for the cause of our God. Does no good if you only got three families building their part of the wall and the rest of the family nothing. The enemy can still easily get in, and guess what? It's going to affect everybody in that community. Brethren, there's a lot here this morning. But we've been given the pattern. We've been given the preparation. We've been given the purpose. And now we've got to perform it. Or else things are just going to crumble and go by the wayside. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness to us, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd help myself first and foremost, Lord, to see the necessity for the work and that it's great, Lord, and help, Lord. I just ask for your help this morning, Lord. I pray you'd help the members here, Lord, those that are members, Lord, to see the necessity of the work, that it's great, and that we need one another. Lord, we need some to just pray and just hold the spear. Just hold the habergeon. Just hold the shield. Just hold the tools. Just stay and pray for those that are going out and digging and building and putting together the wall. Lord, help us to work together as a body unified for your glory, for your honor, and for your purposes. Lord, help us to be about your business. Till you call us home someday. Lord, help us to love one another and be there for one another. And we pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. If you take your hymn book, I'll close with a hymn real quick this morning. Take your blue hymn book. If you're able to stand, I'd like to sing a page. Let me find it here real quick. Page number... 639, page number 639. Sing this last song before we close out here this morning. Page 639, work for the night is come.
Work for the night is coming. Amen.
Dave Root. Can you pray for us, brother?
Dear God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to thee for this day that we've gathered here together to hear the word of the Lord and Savior. We're so grateful for everything that has been done for us, that we have a free country yet,
yes,
and that we can gather together without any fear. We just pray, Lord, that you just bless our preacher and keep him steadfast. Keep all of us steadfast in the faith and sound in doctrine.
Yes.
And we just are so grateful that we have a Savior who paid the price for us on Calvary.
Amen.
And we ask all this, dear Father, give us our way at home safely.
Yes.
Wherever we travel and for the meeting that's coming up. Amen. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Hey. Amen, brethren. Love you. Lord willing, see you tonight.
Amen.